The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 38 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from BlizzPro.com. Today is September 1st, 2016, and from Denver, Colorado, I am John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, from wonderful California-ish area, it's Rosh. Hey, Rosh.
I swear, it's every week I feel like you go to say the city that I'm from, and then you realize that you don't actually know the city, and then you just end with California.
I still don't know. I just have no idea. I'm just making it up as I go.
The LA area. That's fine. Area. Now you know.
But hey, vague enough and specific enough at the same time.
Exactly. It works. It works. But yeah, I'm super excited. Season 2 dropped today, so we've got a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Jeez, spoiler. You can't drop.
It's like, it's her first day, man. Cut her some slack.
Oh, you had to say everything was going perfect before the show, so I had to make sure to throw in a little something there.
Well,
well, that just happened.
Let's go on to Saskatoon, Canada. Kevin Hovdestad. Hey, Kev.
Hey, John. And yeah, this is not Saskatoon, Canada. I am recording live today from sunny Edmonton, Alberta. So I'm on vacation.
For you Americans, it's exactly the same place, by the way. Exactly
yeah,
the same.
You know, hundreds of miles apart. Different state. That's the word you guys use, right?
What state?
Yeah, it's like how close San Francisco is to LA. It's like an hour drive.
Neighbors. Next door neighbors.
I drove six. To get here. But yeah, close enough.
So yeah, I was pretty right there.
Well, last but not least, because I'm going out of order, I guess, from Camarillo, California, it's Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, good to be talking Overwatch. And wow, we're in September already. This year is going by.
Don't do that. Stop.
Hey, we're coming up on a year anniversary on the show next month.
Yes, we.
Oh man, that's
oh
true.
Oh my God, are that's we true. Really?
We are.
Yeah, we were bi-weekly originally, right? But now that the show runs weekly, it looks like we've only been doing it for 8 months by episode count. But in reality, yeah, it was last fall. We've been doing this for almost a year.
We did one or two episodes right before BlizzCon, and so we'll be like right there.
Yeah, it has been a heck of a year, heck of a start. And I'm feeling good. It was the same thing with Well Met. It took us like 8-9 months before it was like, cool, this feels kind of comfy. I feel like we're in a groove. So we're in the groove. Let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Jimmy, we'll let you go first.
It's been really casual. Just log on to play a quick match with friends. That's about it. I've always talked about my concerns recently, at least with not having one hero limit in the game, but we're going to have it obviously now because of season 2. So I imagine my game time will step up quite a bit more as a lot of people will be playing.
Yeah, it's I'm excited to get my placement matches. Season 1 was just a test. Season 2 is where the magic is going to happen. Rosh, what have you been up to on the PTR?
Well, Blizzard dabbled a little in fixing their MMR and how people place a little, and that really affected the PTR, which inadvertently kind of made me not want to play the PTR as much because it kind of came a point grind with their new system, and with the season originally coming out on the 6th, I just didn't feel like investing more time into a PTR that just didn't matter. And since the live servers, the quick play didn't have one hero limit, I kind of just played quick play on the PTR with viewers and friends from the stream. So it was really cool. It was really relaxing. It was nice to take kind of a break before I go dive into season 2. So it was pretty nice.
Nice. Well, The wait is over, as you've already spoiled. So this will be, it'll be good. It'll be a really good show. And then Kev, what about you, man?
Not a whole ton, honestly. I got on console a bit with some friends, just ran around playing some quick play, trying to get my level up.
We
hit a couple.
We did some
of,
work,
know,
by
boxes.
The way, last week.
We did. When you and I were playing, and who, I don't remember who we had with us. It was one
Katie
of your friends.
Katie and my brother.
Yeah, Katie was there and your brother. Okay, I wasn't sure. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, the four of us were rolling around just steaming kids and having a really good time with it. Some really clutch games, actually. It was a lot of fun. But I for sure have been just waiting for one hero limit. And then this little thing called Legion dropped this week, and I don't know what Overwatch is anymore, or at least I won't for another several days.
I know I'm on like the worst. I'm like bottlenecked in all my games right now because we've got a new season in Hearthstone, new season in Overwatch, and a Legion, a new World of Warcraft expansions within 48 hours. So,
well, Blizzard, yeah, the last week of Karazhan today and all Blizzard. This stuff, like, yep. Does anyone have time left to sleep?
Nope.
Well, I, Kevin, you found some time. You shaved your beard. You found some time in the week. So I think it's managed.
I think that actually happened in my sleep.
I just have an IV Samson. Of Red Bull right now, just going straight into the veins. Yep. My brother and I would get like 36, 48 packs of Red Bull for new expansion launches.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I'm on my sixth or so in the last 2.5 days. I know how you feel.
Oh, my goodness. Just you guys are crazy.
Just the most fluorescent urine you've ever seen.
I'm not a doctor, but you may want to slow down on those. Yeah.
We hear news about people like you, Kev, who are like, man who plays Diablo for 58 hours straight.
Yeah. Says the one who just said he buys like 40 packs of Red Bull with his
brother. Used to buy.
Okay, used to buy. Got it.
The timeline is important here because I don't do it anymore. I can make fun of people who do it now. That's exactly how it works.
Touché.
As for me, lots of Overwatch, lots of Hearthstone, lots of World of Warcraft. Life is good news.
This week in Overwatch.
Before we get started, we do want to thank our payload MVPs, Adam B. and Tyler H. For those of you who don't know what that's about, if you support at a certain level at patreon.com/payloadpodcast, we thank you for every show. You get to hear your name every show. I think we're going to make Rosh say it later as well. So then Rosh will say it too. We can make it a ringtone for you. You'll have a professional Overwatch player say your name. And then if you want to email me, I'll get you the MP3 of it and it'll be beautiful. So thank you again to Adam B. and Tyler H. We are on Patreon now and everything, the entire show is entirely supported by our patrons. So if you want to support the show, help us bring on great guests, upgrade our audio equipment, all that good stuff, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. So we were kind of scrambling here about an hour before the show because, you know, the Play Overwatch team tells us things they say September 6th. That's when you're going to be getting competitive mode and probably the next big patch, September 6th. So we planned our show about how you can prepare for competitive play and do all that stuff. And then about an hour before the show, I go on and check because there's always something that happens on Thursdays, like a devil tweet something. And so I go and check and then I'm seeing all these threads about competitive mode being live. And it's true. Competitive mode is out a week early. It's on Xbox and PC right now. And Jeff Kaplan said that PS4 is almost completely finalized and should be live shortly as well. So, hey, guys, we made it. Welcome to season 2. Woo!
Yay.
So, Rosh, you want to give us a rundown on what is new in this latest Overwatch patch? We've talked about most of it as it came out, but just as a quick recap reminder.
I think that we have just a couple reminders. They fixed some MMR issues that were going on with people being placed into the wrong tier. I think they finally resolved some character issues like Roadhog's hooks still making weird hooks and grabs on the PTR. They resolved that. They finalized all of their nerfs and their buffs for the character, like Hanzo, the soldiers, all of those stuff, which we've talked about over the last few things, but they're just little character changes for them. They fixed the tick rate, so that's what you can look forward to in season two as well. Higher tick rates, you aren't getting pulled through walls as many times. And yeah, I mean, am I missing something? What
so other we've got Icon Vault, right?
Yeah,
so
Icon Vault, yeah, of course. Here's the map.
Here's my favorite change of this patch. You guys ready for this? There's a new emote. It's the sit and laugh emote.
Yes. Yep.
I actually love the emote.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Right before the show, I bought a couple things with the currency I had gotten from the 40 boxes that I opened, or 50 boxes I opened the other week. But I got one of the new Reinhardt skins, and I definitely picked up that D.Va emote. I obviously had to get that emote. I don't care that it was 1,000 credits. It was totally worth it. 100% worth it.
Amazing.
I didn't realize it was 1,000 credits. Oh gosh. What was worth it though? I could see how it'd be worth it.
Yeah. So
I mean it's the only emote you're ever gonna see from D.Va ever again. So
ever you may again, as well yeah. just
get used to yeah. it.
No, that is true. What else? I'm trying to see if there's anything else. The Reinhardt skins we touched on. We touched on the Hanzo, Genji, Lucio, and Mercy changes last week. So tune in last week.
All of which are officially live now.
Yes, correct. But those are live. So that's great. Let's hit this. So this is kind of weird. We're scrambling a little bit because, like I said, this all changed within the last hour. There was some balance concerns over Eichenwald over the week. People were worried about it not being very balanced and difficult for attackers. The respawn distances on defense were recalculated a little bit. That's via Dave Adams. So that's been one of the actual changes they make. But Jeff Kaplan essentially said, we're going to make it balanced no matter what. And so far, our internal numbers are pretty good about what we saw when we've introduced other new maps. A lot of it has to do with the lack of familiarity of the map. Even talks about a specific route that people aren't really using that you can to get around that first choke point. You can go around the side. I believe you have to fly there. Is that right, Rosh? I haven't been on the PTR.
Only a couple characters. Okay, so this whole Eichenwald thing is kind of, I think, blown out of proportion a little bit. I think people are too worried because of the previous unbalanced issues with the maps and how attack and defense, they would all have their advantages and disadvantages. I think it's a bit premature. Eichenwald hasn't been released that long. I think more or less of what's going on is that people just aren't familiar with the routes and the flank opportunities that you can get with it. The right flank, like you're talking about, and that was also brought up in the article when they were addressing the balance issues on Eichenwald, was the right flank. And it's either D.Va or Pharah where you can only reliably get across, but still a lot of people don't know it. And it's basically just around the houses on the right, you have to do either a jump boost on D.Va or you have to do the Pharah rocket where you I think that's what it is, off of the ground and then shoot forward. It's kind of tricky. I just think that people are unfamiliar with it. Because if you remember when Overwatch originally came out, look at the placements that people would put themselves in on like Route 66. You'd be all the way up at the front. And then as the season went on and competitive play went on, people realized that wasn't the best way to attack or defend that map. It was really better to go back a bit further and to the right and in a different position. So I think the longer that the map is out, people will become more familiar with it. People will strategize better with it, and they'll figure out really how to take the advantages that they did give you on attack and use that to their advantage instead of just trying to funnel down the middle aimlessly and just feed kills. So I think that it will get better with time and that people won't have to worry about the advantage for it.
I think that was definitely my initial concern with it was... From the video, it looked really, really advantageous for the defensive side. But like you're saying, we'll have to see how it plays out. And I think what I really like about how Blizzard has rolled this out, though, is the Weekly Brawl, whatever it's called in Overwatch. it is the new map, yeah. And it's one hero limit. So you really kind of can be able to get a kind of grasp on it pretty easily and not have to hope you get it in whatever other mode you want to play.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add is, given that we heard Jeff specifically speak to the fact that they know there's some underutilized routes on the maps, I would love for them at some point, maybe when things are a little less hectic, because they're obviously still in, like, this is a new game, we're trying to get things underway mode, I would love to see them release heat maps and show us where the high contested points in these maps and where are the underutilized routes, because obviously that's data that they're tracking. And that's how they would arrive at that conclusion, is to actually review their internal diagnostics on each map and say, okay, yeah, these particular routes aren't being used. I would love to see that kind of data.
The only thing that I have to say about the routes, the only little comment that I have to say is that a lot of maps, like this map is really good if you can flank, because if you can flank, you can get in the back, you can disperse the team, the team's trying to get to you behind, that's when you can really push the advantage up front and push through and get the map and go through that little funnel under the bridge. The thing is, though, the flanks are only really viable for D.Va's and Pharah's. It's really, really iffy on Junkrat's, Genji's, and Lucio's to get the flanks. So the only thing that I'd really like to see implemented toward this map is maybe closing the gaps on the flanks of the distances that you have to jump, so that makes it more reliable for a Genji to get across or something like that. Just open it up to maybe a couple more characters, because Genji and Tracer are flanking characters, and if you can't flank on them, that kind of just eradicates them from even being picked in that map. So that's the one thing that I would like to see, but even until then, I think it's still in a pretty good spot.
Well, you have to wonder too, right? Like, maybe they've got plans for characters down the road that can actually help move other characters around the map. We've seen little examples of that with things like being able to use May's ice wall to boost somebody up to a place they wouldn't be able to get to normally. Like, there's probably considerations like that long term.
Yeah, I agree.
Nice. Well, so there's one more thing we want to hit on here. I'm going to flip these up a little bit, but we also do have a free Overwatch weekend going on for consoles. So if you're on PS4 or Xbox One, September 9th through the 12th, as long as you have a console, you can download Overwatch for free and you have unlimited access to the entire features of the game, including leveling up, loot boxes, and the works. So I thought this was pretty cool. Are you guys excited? Are you going to be inviting any of your friends to come try it out for the weekend?
I had one question I didn't see answered anywhere, and maybe it's because I didn't look hard enough, but if I, as a new player, like if I convince somebody to try console Overwatch this for the free weekend and they make an account and play, will they retain the unlocks and stuff that they earn if they go out and purchase the game on retail? I don't know. I couldn't find that answer anywhere.
I am 99% sure that whatever they get, they keep, because it's just tied to their Xbox account.
Yeah, there's a Q&A there that says yes. So it's 100%, perfect. Stats awesome. Retained as well.
Then that's awesome. I think that's a very cool way for them to get people to try it, get hooked in, play with some friends. And if they like it, I mean, it's not like it's a crazy expensive game to pick up. As long as you're not doing the microtransaction thing, the console copy is buy it and then you're done.
Yeah, you looked right at me for that comment. It's like, as long as you're not doing the microtransaction thing.
The micro transactions.
That's better.
I got a John stuck in my... No, never mind.
The only other thing that... Oh, my goodness.
The only other thing, what, Jimmy?
Yeah, just you have to have Xbox Live Gold for the Xbox One. You do not have to have PlayStation Plus for the PS4 version.
Oh, that's good to know.
That is
so. Cool. Just FYI.
Cool. Nice. Esports. This is pretty cool. The Overwatch Cup teams have been announced. So, yay, we know who's playing. Rosh, I feel like you'd be the kind of the best person to kind of give us a rundown, an idea of what you think the biggest, coolest things about this is so far.
I have a couple mixed opinions on it. I think that it's really cool, and I think that they are doing this based on how they formed the teams, on trying to get the most viewership for the BlizzCon tournament. Because if you didn't know, how they chose the teams for the World Cup is basically the teammates were voted in. So you, the viewers and the fans of the players voted in who you wanted to see for each team respectively. So for Team USA, you have people like God, Siegel, Adam. They were voted in to play for Team USA and represent Team USA at BlizzCon. I think that that's pretty cool on their part, because they realized that this is a popular game. It had a lot of hype. It's lived up to the hype for the most part. Let's use that popularity to get people in, because now we know that that's who the fans want to see. So we know that we'll have a good turnout for viewership. That I like, that I can see why they did. The only thing that I have to say about that is it doesn't really give a chance to people who are interested in the tournament that don't necessarily have a viewership base or a fan base. People like, say Kevin wants to go to the World Cup and he is the best tank player in the world, but he doesn't stream. Mm-hmm. He doesn't stream. He has no viewership. Yeah. He has no fan base, John. And he just does that's not true. Have any way of getting into this tournament. So that's the only thing that I don't necessarily like about it. But at the same time, I can see why Blizzard did it. Maybe they'll do it differently next BlizzCon, now the game's been out for a year, because I can definitely see why they would use the popular vote from fans, because they want to get viewers for this big first world tournament for Overwatch that they're, or the World Cup that they're having. So I could see why they did that. That's just my only little critique for maybe next time they could change.
Yeah, so I was actually on SiriusXM Esports yesterday talking about this, representing the show, actually talking about Overwatch stuff. And I think this is pretty consistent with what they've done in all of their other games and franchises up to this point. Hearthstone came out kind of in like a public beta back in 2013. That fall, they had the Innkeeper's Invitational. It was not a traditional esports tournament. It was just they grabbed a few personalities, right? And they had Artosis and Kriparian and people come and play the game. But it wasn't a real tournament. There was no real prize incentive. They did the exact same thing with Heroes of the Storm last year after its release, because technically the game released like midway through the year, right? It came out back in June or whatever. And we said this. We said this when Overwatch retailed back in the spring, that it was too late in the year for them to do a traditional esports circuit or any kind of tournament. So they were going to be forced to do some kind of invitational. And they're just riffing really heavily, I think, on the vibe they created around the fact that it happened while the Olympics was on, the Olympic loot boxes, this kind of World Cup-esque feel. It's cool because they kept most of the major pros involved. Like, I'm sure I saw a tweet the other day from Envy that all their players are in the World Cup just representing different nations, and that's cool, right? So it's not like it's not going to be a good demonstration of high-caliber Overwatch. It's just not going to be a real tournament. But, I mean, I would bet any one of you, any amount of money you want, that we see them come out with an announcement in, like, late winter, early spring 2017 for the official esports circuit for Overwatch in 2017.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Like, there's no way they don't.
They have to, right? I mean, if they're going to do anything with Overwatch, they have to announce it before kind of the year starts and things get going. They did get away a little bit from a popularity contest, because to Rosh's point, if it's just like the most popular people, how great is that overall? And so they do have two captains picks for each team. So
still restricted by nation, though.
Right. Yeah, well, still, I mean, that's the point of like the World Cup, but at least you can.
But it wasn't like they could just grab their teammates. They had to grab other people from their own country of origin.
Well, their teammates from their country of origin, they could. But yeah.
Sure, yeah. But in a lot of cases, it was like I'm thinking about Team Canada, and Surefour picked Huck, who is an ex-StarCraft pro and really has not a lot of involvement in the Overwatch scene other than as like a, he comments on it, right? But he's not
Blizzard nudged him a little bit. It was like, hey, pick Huck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's some of it's definitely going to be a publicity thing, but there's also an element, you're right, of they could kind of fill in those last couple spots so they had, if they didn't have any popular support players get voted in, they could make sure they had someone who was a competent support player.
Right, like Gods didn't get voted in, which is surprising to
me.
Right,
which is crazy, yeah.
So, like, he would have been one that I... Well, he... Yeah. Anyways.
Hey, what's really fun is there's a player named Gods as well on the Columbia team.
I was going to say, I saw that. There were two Gods, and I thought... I kind of laughed at that, because I was like, what are the chances? Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
Overwatch is not monotheistic.
kind of makes me want to do like a fantasy Overwatch draft, though, having seen this. Like, God, if you build your own perfect Overwatch team, what would you do?
That would be funny.
You could, if they found a way to like make the points that you aggregate public.
I was gonna say, they would
games,
have to figure out a way to
if they made that
system
public, you could totally do fantasy. Yeah. Overwatch,
like, and it could be amazing. Game win loss, but it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be based on competitive points, not competitive points, but the number of points that you get in an individual match that determines if you're on fire or not. And so Blizzard, do that, please. I would give you so much money. I would give you so much money. If we found a way to do
something. Gonna be just living on the street and just like mailing his paycheck straight to Blizzard every month.
You got that Yahoo?
More so than he already does.
Got that Yahoo Overwatch fantasy draft? Got that?
Yeah, right.
what else? Oh, this is interesting. So E-League, we'll back up a little bit. So Morte from, what team is he from again? Oh, this is the worst. Anyways, Thomas,
Bro?
Morte, Kerbosh.
Reunited.
It was with an R. I knew it. Wrote basically to E-League on behalf of the 16 teams who are going to be competing in Atlanta with some concerns that they've had about how the tournament's going to be run. So this is one of the biggest tournaments that we've seen to date in Overwatch. There's incredible teams going. I believe the playoffs are almost done or completely done. I was watching Group C and D yesterday, and yeah. So basically wrote a letter to E-League saying that the single elimination best of three bracket isn't very conducive for the type of tournament and the type of game that Overwatch is. They were upset that coaches were not being accommodated for their travel, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. And then the way that they have it set up is that the EU and NA essentially don't see each other until the grand finals. So you don't really know who is better, EU or NA, except for the grand finals. There's not a lot of playing before that, which people were also understandably not super happy about. And it, in E-League's defense, it makes a great story, right? NA versus EU, who's the best? But as far as who is the best team in this tournament, it doesn't really communicate that story very well. So they wrote, and E-League quickly responded. I don't have the whole response letter in front of me, but they did change the initial rules to being a double elimination, and the playoffs will be best of five. So they did change that, which I thought was pretty cool. Did they change any of the accommodation stuff or any of the other stuff?
But to back up real quickly, to clarify, the playoffs are still single elimination, but they're best of five instead of best of three.
Right, yeah.
So it's a little bit better.
Always single. Yeah, right.
I don't think I read anything about the accommodations for coaches, now that I think about it. I don't think that they stated anything in the letter. I could be wrong, but from right now, I don't remember if they stated anything about that.
Well, that's just a weird crossover problem they're having right now because of the issues that E-League had to deal with Valve and CSGO around coaching in that game. And it's a similar problem that's occurred with a lot of the MOBA games lately. They've had rules about where you can and can't have coaching involved. So I'm not shocked that they tried to sort of cross-pollinate that into Overwatch and the Overwatch Open, but it definitely is something that we need to have a consistent set of rules. And if the players and the teams are all saying, look, everyone's fine with having coaches in it, yeah, like physically present and at the X level of involvement, that seems like it's pretty much how you need to handle it. Like, you don't need to overrule all of the players and all of the coaches and all of the organizations if that's something they're all going to be happy with.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say that I liked about E-League responding how they did and how promptly they did to this letter, because if you... who better to listen to about the tournament rules than the people who are playing in the tournament and devoting all of their time and practicing? And if you're going to go by anything, it should be their opinion, which is what I really liked about E-League and them doing this, was that's exactly what they did. They listened to the coaches. They listened to the players. They tried to form the kind of this Overwatch team union thing, and it was good. And it worked, and it was cool seeing E-League, especially seeing everything going on with Riot right now and the teams versus Riot and all that drama. It's cool seeing that Overwatch is aware of that and they're taking steps to be better at it so that doesn't become an issue. So it was really cool, especially how they got back within what was it, 12 hours? That's how fast
the turnaround
they got back.
Was crazy.
Yeah, and like, it was really good.
To E-League's credit, right? Like, they do have some good people involved, right? Like, the commissioner, Min, is somebody who's got a ton of history in esports. There's lots of people involved who know what they're doing. I 100% chalk this up to they didn't think about what it would mean to just copy the rule set and expectations one-to-one from a different game in the same genre. That's 100% all I think this was, which is why they were so flexible on it. Because they probably looked at it and were like, why did we do this? Because we didn't think about doing it differently. Okay, let's change it. Like, that's, and that pretty much feels like that's probably the entire conversation that occurred, because there's no other way they could have gotten back to them as quickly as they did.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's just really cool to see. It's normally in video games, there's always, it feels like it's really political. There's a lack of movement. There's a lack of willingness to compromise and hear each other out. And I mean, even stuff like this, we got season two a week early from Blizzard based on all the feedback that, hey, this is taking too long. Blizzard's like, well, we basically have it ready now, so let's just go ahead and move the timetable.
Let's just flip the switch.
Right, you're right. A lot of people want to play now. Let's help them play now. And like, that's just great. And to see that tournament organizers are kind of approaching it with a similar mindset of like, great, thank you for the feedback. We can do that. And it's not always a yes. Every time someone submits feedback, it's not always, Jeff isn't like, yes, let's do that. It's, hey, we'd like to, or
the guys on
that's
the
not really
love
in
fantasy
there.
Draft. Let's release all the numbers. Quick, get on it.
Until it happens next week, and then I get to laugh. That would be amazing.
Be very, very, like, people would have some serious questions about how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know me and my pull around Blizzard with the two people I know.
Your red phone to the Kaplan office. Yeah.
It's true. We're Snapchat buddies. I send all my recommendations to Snapchat. That's where
secret.
You can find Jeff Kaplan. He's not on Twitter. He's on Snapchat. So that would be so weird. Anyways.
Jeff, I'm so sorry.
Anything else we need from Overwatch Esports? Rosh, are we missing anything?
No, I think we got it covered. I mean, not too much is happening because, you know, the championship just, like, it was just on what... They're still running reruns of the games from it, so not much is really happening other than the World Cup, so I think we covered most of it.
I do need to say one more thing, and this isn't any at all affiliated with the payload, but I have had the best esports watching experience of my life again this week. Esportsred.com. Seriously, just... Fast forward. It's amazing if you're trying to catch up to that kind of stuff. So if you are, check them out. And they're really cool guys, too. Like, I'm really hoping that they do well with that thing because it's been really handy. We already at our segment?
We are.
All right, let's do it.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
Puta on.
So here's what I wrote. Season 2 is right around the corner, as in 2 hours ago. We had season 1, but for those just joining and want to take season 2 more seriously, what should you do? Well, here's what that's what we're here to talk about today. We're going to talk about how you can and we can together a approach the game from a competitive standpoint, and not even competitive, but just from a standpoint of I want to get better at this game. There's all the time, there's actually a Reddit thread on the front page of competitive Overwatch talking about skill versus practice. And in first-person shooters, there's a lot of people who chalk up being good at first-person shooters just to pure, like, skill. And by skill, I mean that they're just naturally good at it. It's just something that they're good at, and they get that versus practice, whereas someone like Kevin or I can practice a lot at Hearthstone and, you know, get better and better. And a lot of people say that's a very practiceful game. So we wanted to go through and give you guys what we think is some of the best steps that you can take to taking your Overwatch game more seriously, becoming better, tracking yourself, and then hopefully improving and iterating over and over and over again. So let's start from the beginning. Kevin, I just want to hand this over to you to start. How would you start this off?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of variables, and we're going to talk through lots of them, right? Things like trying to be consistent, trying to be measured, trying to make sure that your allocation of time is something that you're actually thinking about and it isn't an accident. Because I think that's where a lot of people just fall apart, is that they play the game thinking, with enough time, with enough energy, I'll just get better. But there's a lot more that goes into it than that, even at like a, I dare say a casual, but like a, we'll call it semi-pro level, right? For me, like I can speak to this from a few other games because I've done this with Hearthstone, as you mentioned, with things like Heroes of the Storm. I went in those games from, I had never played a trading card game to multi-legend in Hearthstone. I had never played a MOBA to Masters League in Heroes of the Storm. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that happens over thousands of games, lots of hours, many years of practice. But it's something that I think a lot of people take for granted, that it's just the time and they don't think about the other variables. So I know kind of the first thing on our list that we were going to talk about here was just having a goal, right? I have a friend who wanted to get better at Hearthstone, and his strategy for getting better at Hearthstone with his limited amount of time was just to get better by one rank every month. If he made it to 10 last month, he's going to make it to 9 this month. And it gave him a very approachable thing to try and work towards over a period of time. And he worked really hard at that, making sure that he always had a very specific thing he was trying to work for. Because if you don't, if your goal is nebulous, if your goal is just get better, that's kind of meaningless. If your goal is more accuracy, if your goal is better map knowledge, if your goal is more practice in an environment with other people where you're actually trying to coordinate alts with two or three other players, you can pick those things, isolate them, and once you've picked one variable to get better at, that's a place where you can actually spend some time.
Totally. What else?
And like that, like,
go ahead.
Sorry, John, didn't mean to interrupt you. And like what he was saying, that for Hearthstone specifically, having a good goal like that feels good too, because it's like if you have an open-ended goal and you don't, like if your open-ended goal is just get better, you don't have something that you could specifically look at and be like, wow, I feel really good about that. Whereas if your goal is 8 and you reach 8, there's a clear definition of, wow, I did it. That's accomplished. You feel motivated. So, I mean, that feels good being able to hit that.
And it's achievable, right? I think that's something a lot of people don't have in mind when they start down that path, is I want to get better at this game. They say, okay, I want to be a pro Overwatch player next year. Like, no, don't do that. Never do that. Start from, okay, this is where I am today. What's an increment, like a logical increment that I can set for myself to get better by 5 or 10%? Because if you set the long-term goal and ignore the short-term goals, you're not actually going to do enough work at the individual things, whether it's mechanical skill, map knowledge, like whatever it might be. I don't know, Jimmy, what am I missing?
Just practice, lots and lots of practice. I think we've talked back on a couple episodes ago. We talked about tools to kind of be able to improve your skill in first person shooters like this. But yeah, setting a goal is something that I am not good about. I'm just like, oh, I want to get better at this game. But like Rosh was saying, if you don't set a goal, what defines better?
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, right, I want to get better at this game. What does that exactly mean? Does it mean I win more than 50% of my games or whatever?
Right.
But yeah, you have to set something and try to set it somewhat realistic. I think I'm going to shoot for gold this season because I was high 30s last season. But this leads us into our other points here. Finding a schedule.
Sure.
Where, how often do you plan on playing? You obviously have to play more to get better and to improve your ranking. And that is something to really consider here. And if being on a schedule as well helps. And you're like, oh, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I'm going to play 2 hours of Overwatch and just see how good I can get in that time period. And that's a good way to approach it, I think.
Yeah, I think consistency is just so huge when you're trying to achieve anything. This isn't just about Overwatch. I was going to add, like, it's super cheesy, but with goals, like, you'll hear people, professional developers and stuff like that, talk about SMART goals, where they're specific, measurable, attainable.
Oh, God.
I know.
I haven't heard
gross,
that in a long
realistic
time.
Realistic and time-based. It's so gross, but it's like the tried and true way to setting your goals. And in the same...
John's giving us like week one college lessons here.
Dude, it's not week one, man. That follows you.
To get away from this.
That follows you the rest of your life, young man. Make your goals,
that's
smart
goals. That's why you haven't forgotten. I understand.
Right there. But with a schedule, it's the same thing. The more that you can stay consistent in that, it's like going to the gym, eating healthy, anything else, the more consistent you become and the more upfront you are with yourself is how much time do I have to commit to this? Like if I'm like, I'm going to be a master player, I'm going to play Wednesday nights from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock PM. That's not going to happen, especially if you're a gold player now. Like go ahead.
Even purely from like a mechanical skill level, not even just a mental and then time level. If you go if you don't have consistency, even myself, I'll go 3 days. I'll go out for the weekend and I won't be playing Overwatch. Shocker, I know. I come back and I'm not as good as I was 3 days ago because I haven't played for 3 days. So the time investment will help you get better. And if you don't devote time to it and you take off 3 days, 4 days, and you only play twice a week, you're one, you don't have enough time to get better. But two, even if you do get better on Wednesday night, by the time you play again on Sunday night, all of that increase in skill that you've gotten is going to have waned quite a bit by the time you play again. So consistency really is the key towards getting better.
Well, and there's a couple of things people have to keep in mind here, right? Frequency of play like that is a thing. Like when I was trying to get better at Hearthstone, I played every day. When I was trying to get better at Heroes of the Storm, I played every day. But there's a lot of other variables that go into that. So, I mean, a lot of people will ask questions like, when should I play, right? Because the game is going to be different during peak periods of time when there's lots of people online versus playing late at night or early in the morning. Maybe you work shift and your best time to play is 1 p.m. And that's going to be awful because you're going to run into primarily people that are very, very skilled who are playing full time as opposed to, you know, the casual people who are playing on the weekends. Most games, I will say this authoritatively right now, most games at most skill levels play differently on the weekend than they do during the week. Like it's just a quantifiable fact. And that's before you get into things like, yes, you should be playing on a regular basis. I would add, like, the biggest thing for me is set a time to quit. And I know that sounds like it's not an important part of scheduling, but I would argue it's the most important part of scheduling. When I start playing, like when I was really working at getting to Masters in Heroes of the Storm, I actually screwed myself up very badly and set myself back by weeks by playing really late one night. And in addition to the fact that I was tired and, you know, mad when I lost, I just kept playing. I kept running to higher skill players because it was late and most people had gone to bed. Like, I know that the temptation is to be like, I'm on holidays or I've got more time, I'm just going to play more. No, like, set limits. Treat it like every other part of your life where there's an intelligent amount of time to allot to it and take breaks, get up, stretch, go do other things. It's not going to be, you're not going to get better at anything by looking straight at it for 8 consecutive hours. Doesn't make you better at anything to try and process it that way. Take breaks, get away from it.
There are definitely times, like you said, where it's harder to climb, and you're playing against people, or you're playing the weekend, so there are a lot more casuals playing, like you said, people who are only playing on the weekends, who aren't as skilled as the people who play every single day for 10 hours a day. My duo partner gets mad at me all the time because I'm just like Kevin. I want to keep playing 10 o'clock hits, and it starts getting really hard to win games, and it's really iffy, like you've got to get this certain team on your side or else you lose. He gets mad at me all the time because I just want to keep playing. I'm like, it's only 10 o'clock. What are you talking about? And then I end up losing all of the progress that I've lost from the day. So I had that written down. Like, that's such a huge note. And it's later on in the notes we're going to kind of get into it, tracking times and stuff to play. But I do that, and we do that, and it's huge because you don't want to lose. That's so demoralizing, losing 6 hours or 4 hours or 3 hours of just straight climbing and skill, and then losing it because you didn't have enough self-control to stop playing when it's just a terrible time to play. So that's huge.
Yeah, like pros who play all the time, who are good at games, will say, all right, my win percentage is 60%. And that's really good. If you can sustain 60% win ratio in any game at any skill level, like you're just going to keep getting better, right, over a period of time. But if it's 60% when you're alert and drops to, you know, 30% when you're tired or frustrated, you're actually going backwards if you spend the same amount of time after you should have quit as before. Like, right. It's 100%. Stop when you're tired, when you're frustrated, walk away.
Mm-hmm. There's absolutely a diminishing returns to where you cease to be sharp or playing at a high level. That doesn't mean that you necessarily need to stop. If you're still having fun and, yeah, you know, whatever, like, yeah, still keep playing, but don't count that as practice time. I go on the ladder, I roll up Secret Paladin and Hearthstone. That's not Hearthstone practice time. That is face roll and just relax and have a good time and unwind time. Those are very different things. This is still a game at the end of the day. It's okay to just have game time. That's okay, but it's very important to know, am I sharp right now? Am I learning? Am I getting better? Am I just playing for fun? And don't try not to mix the others.
Yeah, most games allow you to do both, right? Like, I would argue that's why you've got things like loot boxes in this game. You can say, all right, tonight, I don't want to worry about the ladder. I want to get on and hit quick play and get up to the next level and get a couple of loot boxes or hit my first prestige. Like, you have objectives you can work towards that aren't skill-based. All games have that. And so some nights, pick the non-skill-based objectives to work towards. That's fine, too.
Right. Let's go on to this next one. So this one might be a little bit controversial. I put it in here and nobody edited it. So we're going to assume that it's at least an okay enough point to talk about. But find a team or a group to play with. Overwatch is a team esport. It's designed to be played with friends. A lot of players solo queue and do well, like Rosh. We've heard about Rosh's solo queue adventures. But if that's not you, or you're trying to get better, especially if you're trying to be like, I want to be competitive. I want to play Overwatch tournaments on the weekends at my local gaming bar or whatever. Being able to play well with a team is key. And there's lots of tools for you to be able to find others to play with, like Discord. There's all sort of LFG websites to go through. So definitely check those out. What else about finding a team or group would you guys add?
I would just add that it's two different skill sets, right? Like, your solo play skills, that's the time where you can work on new characters, on accuracy, on map knowledge, because those are things you can work on by yourself very easily. When it comes time to learn to play competitive Overwatch, it is a team game, and how it's played in even a small group. Like, even if you don't play with a full stick stack because you can't get that together on a typical Tuesday night, It's a totally different game, right? Someone's calling shots. Someone's calling strategy. Someone's calling for character swaps. This is all stuff that's going to be happening and part of the competitive landscape that you just don't worry about when you're playing by yourself, because your individual contribution, if you're in solo queue, whether you're in voice chat or not, odds are you're just focused on you. You're focused on yourself, trying to get that kill, trying to help get that objective, but you're thinking about it from the perspective of what you can see and what you can hear. You're not actually coordinating at the highest level. In a team environment, that's not how the game is going to be played. So if you're serious about playing, like, even just something like a fun Overwatch tournament on the weekends, you got a local esports bar that's going to throw on some Overwatch stuff. Like, it's going to be a different experience. You'll do better with a group of 6 gold players that have practiced together and know how to play together and have coordinated on who's going to play which characters and which roles than having 6 guys who are in like high platinum, low diamond, who roll in and play together for the first time with no coordination.
I would say that's mostly true. Yeah.
Yeah. There are rare exceptions where every now and then, I mean, the other teams, but yeah, I'd mostly agree just because you guys, there's also, I can't think of the word, but you guys are in sync with each other. Like, you guys just play well together after so long. Like, you know how he's going to play on Pharah, so you know to play like this as a Mercy player and all that good stuff. So that's definitely true. And as for the looking for group, like John said, there are plenty of places out there and sites out there that will help people who don't know many people in real life who are playing Overwatch. So you can still use it, like Master Overwatch. I haven't personally used it, but I've taken a look at it, and it seems to be really nice and really live. Like, they have a great looking for group system. You can put in exactly what rank you are, what time zone you are, what area you are, what you're looking for, what role, all of that good stuff. And it looks like it's pretty easy to find people that you can play with. You've just got to know where to really look. So kind of just do a little bit of research. If you're not doing well at solo queue, it's going to be just way better playing with someone. So it's definitely something to look into.
And Kev is going to kill me for saying this, but if you're playing non-competitive and you're solo queuing some quick play and you notice that somebody wants to coordinate on the same team, add them afterward and ask if they want to play together and try to play, like, make friends that way. It's okay. Sometimes I've met probably out of all the competitive people I've joined, probably about half of them I've met in just random lobbies. Lobbies. It wasn't an intentional time. It wasn't something where I was seeking out new people going to an LFG tool. It was late at night hanging out. One guy was being funny on the microphone and we worked well together. Yeah. And like, let's do some twos. And went from there and ended up budding into a beautiful friendship.
And for sure, that's way more common if you are a competitive player and you're working hard at getting better. I've had that experience. I had it trying to play Warcraft 3 back in the day. I have it all the time on Heroes of the Storm, where I get added by guys who are in Masters and working on GM, and we just decide it's like, you know, that statistically it's better to duo. So we just find each other, find people that you're comfortable playing with, combos that you know you can pull off together, yeah. And away you go. Overwatch is going to be very much the same way. Like, I've seen lots of people who are actually complaining again already about the size of the Battle.net friends list, because they're finding all these people in Overwatch, yeah, they want to play with. And being that it's such a big group game, you might play with, you know, 5 or 6 different groups of 5 other people over the course of the night, and suddenly you've got 25, 30 new people on your friends list after one night of playing. Like, that's not an uncommon scenario. So that's real feedback, Blizzard, if you're listening. The Battle.net friends list limit, it's got to go up.
Yeah, that needs to be higher.
Don't get me started, please.
It's too late, man. It's too late. I'm to the point where literally every day I have to delete people. It's awful.
Oh, yeah, no, every day I'm deleting people.
I know. I noticed that you guys aren't on my friends list anymore. Thanks.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Bunch of jerks. Fired. I just sat back and I just told myself,
rest in pieces.
So, yeah.
I just want to say something really quick about the grouping thing. I've found that soloing just does not work for me. I go on tilt really easily. And having someone that you queue with, doesn't matter what game it is, if you have someone that you can kind of vent to, and kind of understands that you're just frustrated at the game and not at them, I think that's really good and helpful for playing through a competitive game like Overwatch.
It's also super good to have somebody that, you know, you've played some games with before and knows your ticks. So when you get mad and you play poorly because you're mad, they'll call you on it and you'll hear them and listen to them. I have to do that with my friends on other games all the time, where I just like, buddy, you're getting way too stressed out. Like, you might think that you're not wrong. You might not be playing as badly as other people are saying you are, but like, it's clear that they're getting under your skin. Now's a good time for you to, you know, go take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. People who know you and have similar goals, it will just make that experience even better. Jimmy, what are we looking at next here? What would you say is another great thing to consider when you're trying to get better?
Yeah, really good thing to consider. Rasha alluded to this a little bit earlier, was tracking your progress through matches. I think just writing down maybe the maps and if it was a win or a loss, maybe some specific scenarios that you noticed went wrong or went well. If you have the tools for it, definitely recording your games and going over those is a huge asset. I find for myself, this might work for you too, but writing down like my results in competitive games helps me retain that information a little bit better than just going through replays or a site that tracks that type of stuff. But yeah, just tracking your progress so you can see that you're making progress. And I think that's what's so good about the changes to the MMR system and how it's displayed is you really have a good idea of how much better you're getting or just where you are in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I have a whiteboard that I write my wins and my losses down. And I mean, I go and I'm obviously very way too OCD with this. You don't have to go out like I do, but I will write the wins and the losses based on if we have a double support comp, if we have a single support comp. That way I know which works on which maps. Like I have it broken down onto King of the Hills, onto payloads, onto the hybrid maps. Like I have it all broken down onto which characters I played on that map. So did I play Mercy on this King of the Hill and have a better rate winning than when I play Lucio on King of the Hills and all that stuff. I mean, I have it all on a whiteboard. I go full out. And just like Jimmy said, I stream. So luckily for me, it's all recorded for me already. It saves in a past broadcast. And I will normally go in and specific matches I'll remember from the night. I will go in, go to that match, and I'll watch how I played. There, I have certain matches highlighted when we go scrim against other teams, back when I played with a team. And I'll go and I'll watch, okay, what was I doing? How was I playing? Should I have done this? Because now I'm sitting back from the game. I can completely look at everything, not just when I'm paying attention to the game. And I can say, okay, should I have done that? Should I have shifted to that person? All of that good stuff. So it definitely helps when you can go back and you can watch your gameplay from kind of a third person, from not, you know, looking into the game, it helps a ton. It helps a ton.
I just really like checking stats. I mean, I'll be the first person to admit, my advice to people is always to watch replays and stuff, but I love checking stats. And so that's usually my go-to tool is every game I play, I'll go and I'll look at statistically, right? Like which characters am I succeeding on? Which maps am I succeeding on? I'll do dumb things like I'll look at time of day that I've played and I'll just look at my win losses in a window of time and say, okay, when I play after 10 o'clock at night, my results dip. So I'm going to just stop playing at 10. Like 100% for me, it's just if there's numbers out there that can help me, I can iterate on a lot of the other skill building stuff by playing more games. And I find playing the game more useful in a lot of cases for myself than watching the game. But to track my progress after the fact, I'll check the numbers. And the numbers can't lie, right? If my win ratio is higher during the week and lower on the weekend, despite the fact that I've been playing some of these games for months or years, and I can see that trend regardless as I've gotten better or worse, it's consistent. That's useful information. And my takeaway is I'm going to spend my weekends outside not losing rating in these games. Like it's something you can find numeric evidence for, and it'll be everything. It'll be characters, maps, time of day, day of the week. It's all stuff that you can use to help you decide if you are serious about getting better, when to play, what to play, how to play.
I've definitely found that weekends can be pretty rough in competitive games. I think it's just how many more people are playing.
Too many who casual play bads. Yeah.
I don't want to say that, but
too many casual bads. Sure.
Yes. Good joke, Kevin. Pat yourself on the back.
I'm trying. I can't wait.
John's face right now. You can tell.
We've got a couple more things. We'll wrap it up. So after you've set a goal, found a schedule, found some people to play with, you've been tracking your progress, tracking your stats, then it's time to kind of reevaluate that goal a little bit and iterate. If a goal becomes too hard or too easy, adjust it where you can. Set smaller goals, more incremental goals. Some people can go longer and have a more far out goal and achieve them really well. Some people need to wake up in the morning and write down, make coffee, put on pants, Kevin, and John. Go from there.
She's not going to let you just go in on Kevin by that, like that.
I don't know why Ross goes all mama bear for Kevin. It's the funniest thing ever. I don't get it. Anyways, iterate your goals and lastly, reflect. So after you've achieved a goal or you've run into your time limit and you haven't achieved your goal, reflect on what you want to change, how you want to go further. Were you too ambitious, not ambitious enough? What does that look like for you, the player? What would you guys add about these last two steps? Cool.
I mean, I think great. For no, it's this guy. Cool. I was just going to say with iterating, I think a lot of that comes down to now that you've gotten better, you're probably going to find that when you go to build new goals, things are going to be different. When you're starting out and you're playing a game and you're just deciding you'd like to play it more competitively, it's easy to set little short-term goals because the vectors for improvement are really obvious. You can say, my aim's not very good, or I'm losing all of my games in this game mode, or whatever. And the goals become simple things that you can identify very quickly. As you get better, that's going to become a lot more challenging, right? And in some cases, in a game like Overwatch, some of it isn't even 100% truly in your own hands, because it is such a team-based game. So you're going to find that your ability to set goals, that's also going to get more difficult. So you'll have to think very carefully as you progress about, can I now, with the information I have, with the fact that I've become a better aimer, that I've become a better player, that I know the maps inside and out, what do I do? And you may find that it's really useful to talk to other people. So don't feel like this is something you have to do by yourself. There's always somebody out there who's better than you at a game that you can learn from, somebody who has a different idea than you do. Whether it's simple things like how shot calling is going to work and who is going to call or how they're going to call, that's something you don't understand at all. After months or years of solo queue practice to get good, take somebody's advice, like reach out to other people, because that's going to be one of the best ways to iterate on your goals.
Nice. Feel good?
Feel good. Always.
Feels good, man.
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
Time to go. Yes, we are donezo for the week. Before we do, though, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B. and Tyler H., for supporting this show at such an incredible level. If you want to find out more what that's all about, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and learn more there. Kev, what do we have going on for Patreon this week?
We are actually very excited this week, as of the beginning of September. I can't believe that's happened already, to welcome two new patrons to the Payload family. So to Tyler H. and Alicia S., both people that we've seen in the chat or hanging out with us over on Well Met, thank you so much for your support. As always, both of our projects, Well Met and the Payload, are entirely supported by our audience and our fans. So what we're doing here, how we put this all together, is 100% on the back of what you guys are enabling us to do. If you're interested in becoming a part of that and helping us out, you can head over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast to learn more.
Yes, yes, you can. And what about iTunes reviews, Jimmy?
Yeah, we got a couple of those in the US of A. We have Chomsky, Solomon Grundy, and Finch 9001. With those 5-star reviews. Thank you guys so much, or gals. Appreciate that.
I love it. Jimmy, I love you. Freaking love having you on this show. I'm so excited for TwitchCon. We just get to hang out.
That's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
It's scary how close it is.
I was going to say it's coming up fast.
Yep. Yeah. What, 2 weeks?
This month. It's at the end of the month.
4 weeks.
It's right at the very end.
But still. But let's go. Sorry. Ross, shout outs for the week.
My normal every week shout outs, Fade to Karma, you guys especially, I, like I said, you guys, I enjoy my Thursdays every week now. I'm super excited, and I wake up and it's like, yeah, man, I get to do the payload. It's super cool. I think it's all coming together well. I will not be streaming after this, but I will go back into my normal schedule. I'll be streaming tomorrow and Saturday. So definitely come hang out. I will be doing season 2 placements if you want to see it from a support point of view. So yeah, twitch.tv/okayitsrosh. You should definitely come hang out.
Awesome. Jimmy, what about you, man?
Just follow me on Twitter. I might be casting a Heroes tournament this weekend. We're figuring out the details of that, but make sure to follow me on Twitter for that. And like John was saying, we'll be at TwitchCon. I somehow convinced them to let me have a panel. It's called Podcasting on Twitch, How to Grow Your Community, and it will be on September 30th at 12:30 p.m. right before the keynote in the Sandstorm Theater. So if you're at TwitchCon, come check it out. I really appreciate it. And also, it's going to be, I think it's going to be live stream, twitch.tv/TwitchConSandstorm.
Woo! So excited. It's going to be so much fun. Kevin! Kevin, shout outs for the week.
Well, first, I just have to start with a big thank you to my sister Terry and her boyfriend Mike. I'm doing this live on location from their place, so they readjusted their computer space for me to let me be on the show this week. They're hanging out doing something else so I can have the space to myself to record this week, so big thank you to them. And just big shout outs to all of our listeners, but in particular, I'd like to just kind of hat tip anybody who is planning on coming to BlizzCon. We're kind of close enough now that the planning stages stuff has actually started. We're 2 months away. So if you're a listener of the payload and you're going to be at BlizzCon, if you want to come meet us or hang out and do something while we're down there, now's a good time to start getting in touch while everybody's working on their schedules, figuring stuff out. Let us know. Hit me up on Twitter at @lackofrealism. I would love to plan like a little get together. We'll try to find a time to do like a lunch, get a photo, you know, maybe bring some swag for those of you who want to come out and hang. Yeah, follow me on Twitter at @lackofrealism. You'll see all my esports projects over there, and we'll chat about what's going down for both the payload and WellMet at BlizzCon this year.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. As for me, TwitchCon at the end of the month, BlizzCon after that. So much cool stuff. I'm so excited. I might cry right here on stream. I'm not even gonna cut it. I'm not gonna edit it out. I'm just gonna bawl for like 45 seconds. Get it all out. Feel great. So I'm really excited about that. I am fundraising to try to get there. And yeah, so I'm streaming at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. I think we're gonna actually stream some Xbox placement matches right after this. So if you want to come check that out, that'll be fun. twitch.tv/kickedtripod. And yeah, I think that's it. Oh, we may or may not have some really exciting stuff to unveil on the show next week. I am still, I don't want to hard promise it, but it is so close to being done that I feel that I can say this and it should happen. So if you guys can be at the live show next week, or make sure to hop on the website when it posts for the show next week. But I think we're going to have an awesome, awesome surprise for you guys. Thanks to our patrons, actually, that were able to do this. So meet us next Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, next Thursday. At 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. There's too many things. There's too many buttons. And
I mean, they can hang out on Sunday, too. WellMet's fun, too. But Thursday, yeah. 7 p.m. Pacific Time.
Okay.
Twitch.tv/BlizzPro.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So,
I got you, boo.
All right. So you can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. Our logo is great. The guy who did it is awesome. Great to work with it. It's Dread Scythe of ScytheDesigns.com. And of course, you can find us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. A big thank you to Jake at jakebuttono.ca for our awesome music. We get so many compliments on our music. It's unfreaking believable for Wellmet and the Payload. He does them both. He's amazing. Go check it out. And it's a free download, so you can get that, listen to it. You're having a rough day, just put on the intro music for the Payload and it'll all melt away. It'll all your sadness and stuff will go away. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/payload podcast. And of course, as we've talked about, patreon.com/payload podcast as well. Send us your emails to thepayload@blizzbro.com. I haven't even made an email sounder yet because we haven't got enough emails for me to put the time in to do it. So if you send us some emails with some good questions or some good content, I'll make a new sounder. Why not? And then, of course, we always appreciate our iTunes reviews. We got 3 this week. That's amazing. Thank you guys so much. If you want to support the show but don't necessarily want to or have the finance to support monetarily, hop on over to iTunes, hop on over to Stitcher, leave a 5-star review. That's the best way. Short of being here live, following us on Twitter, it's the best way to support the show. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcast. So for myself, Kevin, Jimmy, and Rosh, this has been episode number 38. Episode number 38. We'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.